Trying to do some strong touch. So my title this morning, I just called it Patience, and you can turn with me to Numbers chapter 9. Nine 15. I'm going to be reading from the NLT. This is, of course, about the children of Israel when they're in the wilderness and God directs them. So Numbers 9, starting at verse 15, says, "On the day the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered it, but from evening until morning, the cloud over the tabernacle looked like a pillar of fire. This was the regular pattern. At night, the cloud that covered the tabernacle had the appearance of fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from over the sacred tent, the people of Israel would break camp and follow it. And wherever the cloud settled, the people of Israel would set up camp. In this way, they traveled and camped at the Lord's command wherever he told them to go. Then they remained in their camp as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle. If the cloud remained over the tabernacle for a long time, the Israelites stayed and performed their duty to the Lord. Sometimes the cloud would stay over the tabernacle for only a few days, so the people would stay for only a few days, as the Lord commanded. Then, at the Lord's command, they would break camp and move on. Sometimes the cloud stayed only overnight and lifted the next morning, but day or night, when the cloud lifted, the people broke camp and moved on. Whether the cloud stayed above the tabernacle for 2 days, a month, or a year, the people of Israel stayed in camp and did not move on. But as soon as it lifted, they broke camp and moved on. So they camped or traveled at the Lord's command, and they did whatever the Lord told them through Moses." I just really like this, this idea that, around 1 million people, they just and once broke camp and moved whenever they saw the pillar or cloud move or the fire by night. And I think that, we know that they it talks about how they mumbled and complained in the wilderness, about food, about water. So this kind of story about patience, there's a lot of New Testament verses about patience, but this here got me to thinking that I bet there were many people that at different times did not agree with what, the timing. So I think there were probably times when they set up camp and somebody was there and they were like, "Man, this is a great spot. I bet we're going to be here for a long time." And maybe the next day, God's on the move. And they're like, if they did not get up and move with the camp, they would have been left behind. God and his presence would have moved on and they would have been left there by themselves in the wilderness. So it's important to, when there was sort of like three different points that I got from this was that one, you got to kind of move when you know God's on the move. But then there's also the other ones. Well, maybe they set up camp in sort of like not friendly environment, and they're probably thinking, "Well, we won't be here long." But then day after day goes on, and they're in the same place, an uncomfortable place. And sometimes we're in those places where we just got to be patient. Well, we want to move on from where we're at, but God's like, "Not yet. You just got to wait for my timing," because we know his timing's perfect. And then to me, there's also the transition. Like, who knows if maybe there was people who were tired of constantly moving, and maybe there were many days or a month where they constantly were moving, and they just and though I think of this as a transition period, where maybe they want to transition from one place to the next place. And sometimes we, either in our spiritual lives or just in general, we find ourselves in those types of places where you kind of got to be patient in that transition, waiting on God. And then I also thought about this as this is where you got to be, this is what takes where faith and trust God, in that patience. And you got to be, the devil will come in and try to get you off course. Sometimes people may, he'll bring people along your path to like try to get you off course. So you got to know where you're at, where either you need to be staying where you're at or you need to be on the move were you in that transition period? So that's all that happened to you. I just thought this was, you know, a good illustration of, you know, it's kind of like it's the whole God's timing thing. You know, sometimes you're in one place for a long time, and then sometimes you move. It's, to me, it can go into ministry effect. You know, sometimes people are just, you know, part of their life. They may not be this in the same ministry the whole life, you know. So, you know, I hear about this from like preachers on TV. Well, you know, I remember like Joyce Meyer talking about, you know, at first she was just like this small, in a small church. And a lot of pastors start out that way. They're like in a small congregation. But then as they stay faithful and patient where they're at, then eventually God brings them into the next world. So that's what I encourage you today, is that you may be in an area of your life where you just got to be patient and waiting on God. So.
Amen. That was really good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. You can go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to talk about faith in God's will. And I'm going to read a lot out of the Amplified today. So just follow along as best as you can. Thank you, Lord. We're going to start at Hebrews 10:36. It says, "For you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances." I'm sorry, you guys. I was worshiping earlier and I could barely sing. It was so good. God's presence is really strong. Okay. "For you have need of patient endurance to bear up." I'm gonna get through this. I'm going to blame Michael for his sermon. Yeah. If I can get through the first verse. Whew, okay, Lord. "To bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised." I feel like Michael just went ahead and preached my sermon. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Last night I was praying to the Lord, and there were certain words that he had given me over the years, and I was going back over those words, and there were some things that had not been fulfilled yet. And I was just settling it in my heart that God said his word is true, and I am going to endure in faithfulness. I am going to stand on his word. Just like it says, patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising. And I just settled down in my heart. I read his words that he spoke to me and that I had written down over the years, you know, and I just knew it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the world puts on us and the lies and the doubt and unbelief. When God speaks, his word is true. Amen. And it goes on in verse 37, for yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Man, that just really hit me. And then that song today. Like, he is coming. Like that very first song. You know, and that is so powerful. Like, we know that Jesus is coming. We know that he is returning for his people. He spoke to us that word. He has not forgotten about us. He knows what we go through every day. And he has not forgotten about us. Verse 38, but my righteous one, the one justified by faith, shall live by faith, respecting man's relationship to God and trusting him. And if he draws back, shrinking in fear, my soul has no delight in him. And in Habakkuk 2:4, it says, the just shall live by faith. But it reiterates that those who are proudful, those who are full of pride, have a hard time living by faith, basically. It is the just who live by faith. It is that patient endurance to keep trusting in the Lord. Amen. Verse 39, but our way is not that of those who shrink back to destruction, but we are of those who believe, relying on God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and by this confident faith, preserve the soul. And I'm just going to read the first verse out of chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. And I love this version, but the one that I always remember is the King James. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That has been a solid rock for me when times have been doubtful in my life and going through different things. I just know that my faith is in the Lord. Amen. And that's what I'm going to talk about today is keeping your faith in his will no matter what goes on in your life. So I'm going to read this little clip. Anybody remember in the newspapers when people would write a question to Billy Graham and he would respond and answer those questions? That was before the internet became famous and you could do that with anybody anytime. So the question this person sent in was, my biggest struggle as a Christian is to know God's will and the purpose of my life. The more people I talk to about it, the more confused I get. Is it difficult to know God's will? And Billy Graham responds, there is a simple answer, which is this. God's will is for everyone to obey his word. This was his will from the beginning. His perfect will was known to Adam and Eve in everything and gave one don't. All through scripture, he tells us what to do and what not to do. He tells us how to live. He gives us the strength to endure hardships, and he brings joy when we walk in his ways. It is wonderful to desire and know God's will. Once you know it, do it. King David prayed in Psalm 143:10, Lord, teach me to do your will. Many pray, Lord, show me your will, and then never open up the Bible. When our hearts are right before him, he promises to teach us. In teaching us, he gives us understanding. His power is put within us through his Holy Spirit. This is a wonderful truth. God's will is revealed in Scripture, and it pleases him when we desire and do what he instructs. This can be a wonderful Bible study. 1 John 2:17 says, the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. To those who truly seek God's will, the key is to become more and more like Christ. If we are ignorant of God's word, we will always be ignorant of God's will. When we are at a point of decision about choices in life, and it is not contrary to God's word, start moving in that direction. Ask Him to close doors and open others. What grieves the heart of God is when we deliberately make a choice that is in conflict with His truth. God will never, never lead us to do something that is contrary to His written word. And I just thought that was so powerful how it puts it all together. Like, I remember the first time that I heard Carter Conlon preach the sermon, His word is His will. His will is His word. It's interchangeable. And that was just such a revelation to me. It's just like a light bulb just clicked off in my head, you know, because I had been asking that same question and nobody knew I was asking that. I was writing it down in my journals and I was asking the Lord, what is your will for my life? What is your will? And when He said that, man, it was just like a light bulb and it just like opened up all of these plans and purposes that God had for my life, just being faithful and not giving up. And every single step, it was like, as I learned to do His word, it opened up doors for what He wanted me to do in my physical life. When I understood in my spiritual life God's will for me, it opened up doors in my physical life. I just can't explain every detail, but you just have to understand that you may not understand or see in God's word the exact step that you need to take every day. Like, do I get this exact job? Or do I marry this exact person? Or do I go to this country? You know, like, in God's word, we're not going to open up and He's going to say, oh, Esther, thou must depart from Missouri in 2 days and go to Kansas in three. You know, no, He's not going to say that. That's just, you know, but like, a lot of times we look in God's word and we look for the physical answer. We want that physical answer to every single question in our life. And He says, no, you have to see the spiritual first, and then you will see the physical direction. Amen. And that's just, it's just a really big revelation to me. So if you would turn to Mark chapter 11, and we're going to talk about faith, and I'm going to talk a lot about Peter today. And I'm going to start at verse 12. It says, on the next day, when they had left Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, He went to see if He would find anything on it. But He found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, no one will ever eat fruit from you again. And His disciples were listening to what He said. Let's see. I want you to drop down to verse 19. When evening came, Jesus and His disciples would leave the city. In the morning, as they were passing by, the disciples saw that the fig tree had withered away from the roots up. And remembering, Peter said to Him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. Jesus replied, have faith in God constantly. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with God's will. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. And remember that God's will is His word. So whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with His word, if His word says it, you can speak it and it will happen for you. Amen. And, you know, the hard part is when you speak it and you don't physically see something happen, right? That's where you cannot go by your physical senses. You have to go by faith. Hebrews 4:2 talks about, and we went over this a while back, how the Israelites, they had the law, they had the word of God. God spoke to them directly. God spoke to them through Moses. And yet every word that they had, if it was not mixed with faith, had no power in their lives. It didn't affect them. It didn't give them the purpose and direction that they needed. It was just a word to them. It wasn't powerful. It wasn't impactful on their hearts. But we have someone like Joshua, who was underneath of Moses. And every word that God spoke and every word that Moses spoke, Joshua received by faith. And so everything that the Israelites did, many of them passed away in the desert because all that they did was when they heard the word was they mixed it with doubt instead of faith. Amen. But Joshua and also Caleb, both of them heard God's word. So when they were spies and they went into Canaan and they searched out the land, they saw that land by faith as theirs. But the rest of the Israelites mixed that with doubt. They were like, how could this be? How can we conquer this land? And so they weren't putting faith in what God had done and he had spoken. Amen. And it's really simple. God had told them that they would go in and that was their land. He told them, he gave them a spoken word that it was going to come to pass. He told them that. And it's amazing that you would think that every word that God spoke, everything that he had already spoken before had already come to pass. So why would this word not be true for them? Well, it's the same with us. Every word that God has spoken to us has come to pass. So for us, it is mixing faith with the words that have not yet come to pass. Amen. And that's where last night I had to just trust in the Lord. I was like, you know what, God, you spoke these things in my life. You told me this would happen and this would happen and this would happen. And I just reminded them and set them before the Lord. And he was like, it is going to happen. Like God, and I was like, yes, of course it is. I have to choose to mix faith with what he was telling me. So Romans 12:3 talks about God has given each one of us a measure of faith. Amen. And Matthew 17:20, Jesus talks about it doesn't matter if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. It does not matter because faith in God doesn't matter on the size of your faith. He's given us all the same measure. It's how we let it grow. And the word of God, what it does is, you know, the story of the sower sows the seed, and that seed is the word. When the word goes into you, you mix it with faith and you let it grow. And when it produces fruit, it comes alive. And then the word has produced fruit. It is growing in your life. And every day you have to constantly feed that word that God has given to you. You have to constantly mix faith with what he has spoken to you. Otherwise, that seed will die in your life. Everything that God has spoken to you, if you don't mix faith with it, it's not going to happen. But if you continue to mix doubt or the lies of this world with whatever God has spoken to you, then you will receive doubt. You will receive the unfruitful works of darkness. And that's what you don't want in your life. Amen. So Peter, can I finally talk about Peter? Peter, when he first met Jesus, he was a fisherman, and they had been out all night, and there wasn't anything, and they didn't catch any fish, and it was like just a bad night. I mean, if you've been working all night long, and then you come to the shore, you're tired. You just wanna you've taken care of all your nets, and you're ready to go home. And Jesus comes to the shore, and he tells them, put your nets out again. I mean, just, I just imagine Peter's reaction. Like, he's like, only because you said. Only because you said. But to me, that kind of reaction is like, I don't really want to. I'm only doing this because you told me to. Like, you know. And but he obeys. So even though he doesn't really want to, he is mixing faith. He's mi mixing action with what God has spoken to him. And what does he do? He goes out in his boat and they put the net over, and there's so many fish, he has to call over another boat just to help him gather all the fish. So he sees this mighty miracle and he goes to Jesus and he becomes his disciple and he follows him. Okay? So fast forward, and a lot of times, you know, Peter has this boldness, and he always like just wants to be right there, you know, always right there, the loudest and the most explanatory of everything. And when Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter's the one that rises up and says, "I know who you are." Like, basically, he's like, "You are the Son of God, you know, and the Messiah." So he proclaims who Jesus is, you know. So he's bold and outspoken. And then when it comes to the end, they're in the Last Supper, and Jesus says, "Peter, you're gonna deny me three times." And he's like, "No way. I am gonna follow you even unto death." So Peter, you know, he's speaking out of, that's what his flesh is like. I'm gonna do this. You know, I've followed you so far. I'm gonna follow you unto death. And Jesus is like, "No, you're gonna deny me three times." So what happens? Jesus is crucified, and Peter does deny him three times. And after the third denial, it says that Jesus looked on him, and there Peter and him, they looked at each other. And just imagine that conviction, where Peter had said, "No, I would die for you, but instead I'm denying you." Just imagine that conviction. And it's really amazing, because through all of this, you think that, wow, you know, Peter must have strong faith to be able to say, "I'm going to die for you, Lord." His faith must be really strong. And Jesus knows that Peter's going to have this weakness. And it's kind of like in our lives, like, God knows that we've been faithful. We've been faithful, but he knows that we're going to come to a point where we will want to deny him, where we will go through a phase in our lives where we may actually deny him, where we may turn from him. And Jesus, just like he did for Peter, he says, "I prayed for you." He tells Peter, "I prayed for you." Well, Jesus is our intercessor right now. Amen. So he knows we're going to go through those things. So Peter's is just under so much condemnation and so much hurt, and then Jesus raises from the dead. And it's really amazing, because Peter, in his "I don't know what God's purpose is for my life. I don't know what God's will is for my life. Jesus is raised from the dead, but I don't know what to do now because I followed him for so long. I guess I'll go back to fishing." So he goes back to fishing, and he's in the boat, and guess what? He doesn't catch anything. Does the story sound familiar? Him and John are on the boat, and I'm assuming some other disciples are, and John says, "I see the Savior," I think he says Messiah, at the shore. But I don't think they quite knew who it was at first. And they didn't catch any fish. And the man at the shore says, "Just put the net on the other side." And they're like, "Okay." And as they're doing it, it's like they're realizing who this is. And they catch a bunch of fish. And it's interesting, because it actually says in this one, they catch like 153. And I thought it was interesting that it put the exact amount of fish that they gather. And they come, and immediately Peter's like, "Oh man, that's Jesus." So he throws on his cloak and swims to shore, and Jesus is already cooking fish. Like, where did this fish, like, nobody asks him, "Where did this fish come from, Jesus? How did you catch fish suddenly? How are you?" Like, you know, they don't ask him. And they're sitting there, and Jesus is feeding his disciples. As they're sitting there, Jesus looks at Peter and he says, and this is out of John chapter 21. He says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter's like, "Yes, I love you." A little bit later, Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And he says, "Tend my sheep." And then he says again, "Peter, do you love me?" And at this time, Peter's just broken. He is totally broken. And it says he's totally distraught. Like, why does Jesus keep asking me this? And he says, "Why, Jesus, are you asking me this? You know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." And he tells him, "Right now, you can take care of yourself. But when you get older, somebody else is going to lift you up and take you away. Someone else is going to take care of you." And a lot of that was Peter actually died on the cross just like Jesus did, but because he felt unworthy, he was crucified upside down. And it's just interesting because here he is, like, Jesus knows that Peter denied him, and yet Jesus doesn't stop showing Peter how much he loves and cares about him. He knows that there is an issue of pride in Peter's heart. So he goes after that issue, but then he encourages him and strengthens him in the most holy faith. Like, God knows, he already knows Peter's heart. And Peter's like, "You know that I love you. You know. And it's like, but he has to go through this. Peter has to go through this questioning in his heart. He has to, because he questioned Jesus, Jesus is questioning him, right? And that's where a lot of us, we go through our lives and we're like, "Oh, I have this faith. I believe in Jesus." And then when that hard moment comes and we feel like we want to just give up and we feel like, or we've messed up and we feel like, "Oh, there's no way that I could ever get back to where God wants me to be. I can never go back to, I don't even know what God's will is for my life anymore." You know, like, and that's why Peter went back to being a fisherman, because he had lost what God has spoken to him all those years, all the years of discipling, all of the years of building his faith, because of one trial of denying him. Peter was suddenly knocked down so hard that he felt like he couldn't get back again. He felt like he had to just go back to what he was doing before. And that is where all of us, just like Peter, we have to have faith in what Jesus has spoken to us. And the hard part is when Jesus is questioning us, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" And we're like, "Well, yes, I have loved you. I do love you. I have been faithful and I have done this and I have done that." But Jesus is like, it's not about what you have done. It's about what you are doing right now. You know, are you going to go back to what you were doing before, to your old purpose and your old plan of what you had for life, because that was comfortable? And God's like, "No, there is something new and bigger that I want you to do. But you have to understand that none of that will matter unless you love me." Amen. So I would just want you to think about that. The word of God will come alive in you when it is mixed with faith. You have to remember what God has spoken to you over the years, just like I did last night. I remembered what God spoke to me, but I didn't just look at what he spoke to me and was like, "That's never going to happen." I looked at what he spoke to me and I trusted that it would happen. I trusted in his word that what he spoke to me would happen. Amen. And it was so encouraging, because I know that a lot of us over the years, we've heard God speak to us and we've heard God's plan and his purpose for our lives. And sometimes it can feel like, "Oh, I just want to give up. None of it's working out. Or I've messed up and I don't even know what direction to take anymore. It's easier if I just go back to what I was doing before. It worked then. I had security back then, and it's just like the Israelites. They were, even though they were in captivity and slavery in Israel, they were like, yes, I know that was bad, but I just want to go back to that because I'm not sure about what this future is, because they didn't mix the word that God spoke to them in faith. Amen. And it's just like in Hebrews. In Hebrews, all of these people that the author is writing to, they had heard Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the only way for eternal life. That all of the other things, he's fulfilled the law, it's done, you are redeemed, that's it. But because of trials and persecution, they wanted to go back to the Judaism, back to those traditions and laws that they had kept before, thinking that it would be easier, thinking that, that it's more comfortable to go back to that old way of life. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you right now, whatever you're going through in your life, whatever questioning you have for the Lord, He is asking you, do you love me? And what are you responding to Him? What is in your heart? What is He saying to you? What are you saying to Him? Amen. You go ahead and stand and we'll pray. God will never stop loving you. Amen. But what is your choice? Do you love Him? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you, Father, that you have sown in us your word. Lord, we pray that each of us, God, would mix faith with what you have spoken to us, God. We know, Lord, that your word says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your word says we are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. We are 10 times wiser than the heathen. We are blessed in the basket and blessed in the field. These are promises of your word, Father. You have promised us your Holy Spirit, and we receive all that you have for us, God. We ask you, Lord, that you would strengthen our faith in you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, every doubtful word that has been sown in the hearts of each and every person here, I command those words of doubt to die. I command them to leave this room, to leave the hearts of these people. And Lord God, I pray that you would increase their faith in you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would strengthen their faith and make them strong in you, Father. Lord, I pray that you would heal those who are sick, that you would strengthen weak bodies, Father. Especially, Lord, we pray for Denise. We ask you would heal her by Jesus' stripes. God, we thank you for a miracle, a mighty miracle in her life. And God, we thank you. Let our lives bring you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are dismissed.